I'm so glad that you guys are here today. This is such a big day at 514 Church. I cannot say that enough. It's such a big day. And are you excited about what God is going to do in your life today? Just let me hear it. He's going to do something in your life today. And if you're new and you're visiting and you're checking us out, I need to share with you that this message is for you, because the people who call 514 Church home, let me hear you hoot and holler for a second. The people who call this place home, they don't need to hear me talk about this today. They don't need to hear it. They already believe in what we're doing. They've already given a bunch of money to this place, a bunch. And over the past 25 months at 514 Church, the people who love this place and who give regularly gave $5.3 million. I mean, it's preaching to the choir if we're talking about me motivating you. This is for you that are new, that have visited, that are on the margins, and that are wondering, you know, what's your role? Where do you fit in this thing? And how can you make what we believe we're supposed to do? How can you make an impact, and how can you play your role? And so that's what this is about today. And so today, what I'm going to share with you is some vision. And as I go through this vision and I share it with you and then unpack it and show you some things and teach you some things, I want to ask everybody in this room, whether you're here for the first time or you've been coming, to engage with what's going on up here at a completely different level, at a whole new level. And so we've done some things to help you engage. The first thing is we made notes on these clipboards. So whether you believe in Jesus or not, pick one of these up right now. Just pick it up. Even if you don't believe in the Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ, Alpha and Omega, beginning and end. All right, if you don't believe in that, you should still pick it up. And here's what we're going to do. From now on, we are going to be giving you guys, we're trying this, we're going to be giving you notes. It's the top sheet for what I go through on a Sunday morning to help you engage and to help you remember and to help you move this type of thinking and these discussions into a small group experience, which we think you need to be involved in. And so as I go through my slides, what you're going to see is that the slides that are yellow and underlined are the fill in the blanks. So you have to figure it all out as you go. And we want you guys to engage with us. And if you want to talk more about what I'm going to talk about, then you can join a small group. And also what I'm going to ask everyone to do in terms of engagement is to make a commitment today to something that is really big. It's monumental. It's extremely a lot to ask. Like, I'm about to ask something of you that just, you'll probably feel like I went over the boundary just a little bit when I ask this. Okay, I'm going to ask you, heaven forbid, I am going to ask you to come to church for 2 more weeks after today. I know. Isn't that crazy? I mean, how many of you just got, like, literally anxious? You're just like, oh, my goodness, we've already come twice in the past 8 weeks. I don't know how we're going to do this for 2 more weeks in a row. I'm mocking that no one comes to church regularly. That's what I'm doing. Because you need to not just engage through these notes, you need to engage in what's happening at this church right now. Here's the deal. I'll play a little bit hardball. If you don't engage in what I'm going to talk about and lead our church through over the next 2 weeks, you are missing out. You're missing out. You're missing out on the benefit and the blessing that comes from being a part of something that's bigger than yourself. Because I'm telling you right now, we own 8 acres, and Lord willing, if everybody's all in, we're breaking ground this summer. Okay, I'm not blowing smoke. It's real. The money that you've given has afforded us the ability to get financing. If everybody's all in again, we're going. We're going. So if you just decide to step away from this, you know what's going to happen? We're going to build a building. That's what we're going to do. We're going to build one, and then you can come back when it's built, and we'll just give you a hug. Yeah. We'll say, oh, man, we missed you, kind of. We missed you. We missed you. Now go get some people who need Jesus. Oh, wait, you're here. Just kidding. Listen, I'm telling you, man, you don't want to miss what's happening. We have land on Hamilton Road. It is the most exciting development in Columbus, Ohio. Can you imagine when this thing pops up out of the ground? It's going to be incredible. it's not going to actually pop up out of the ground. I know how things get built, generally speaking, like Legos. But I'm telling you, this is what you want, and you may not think you want this, but you do want this. You actually want to drive by our land on Hamilton Road, and when the building starts to go up, you want to say this to yourself, I'm a part of that. I'm a part of that right there, man. I'm a part of that. I am a part of building that thing and being a part of reaching this community. We bought that land from Les Wexner. Isn't that cool that he sold it to us? He's a part of it. You should be a part of it too. Get on board with this thing, and the way it's going to happen is if you simply let God do what only he can do in your heart over the next couple weeks. Are you open to that? Come back to church. Come back to church. I have just loads of vision to share with you. Look at this building. This is it. We're building this amazing 35,000 square foot tilt-up panel, you know, Home Depot with a cooler sign. I mean, we're going to build this thing, and we are going to put, you know, 1,000 people per service in this thing. I mean, it's amazing what's going to happen in this space. When you go through this, here's a couple other shots. Looking at the door, it's going to be in the best location in the city. 80,000 people a week will drive by this. A day. Is that right? A day? Oh, my. 80,000 people a day? I thought it was a week. Wouldn't that be worth it if it was just a week? It's a day. What's 8 times 7? 56. That's a lot. Look at that building. That looks sweet, too. I want to be a part of that. Everybody say, I want to be a part of that. I mean, who doesn't want to be a part of that? Are you stinking kidding me? A worship experience. Look, can I share something with you for all the 514 people? Just take a minute and just breathe this in. It's just a beautiful thing. It's a little detail, but it'll change your life forever. Like wet wipes or Bluetooth or just some of those types of things. Here's what it is, okay? The hallways are 24 feet wide. Oh, my. I mean, outside, I think, what are we dealing with in here, Wes? 11? Man, it feels like 5. It feels like we have 3-foot hallways. We need bigger hallways. This has bigger hallways. Children's space. This space right here is almost the size of this entire gym, and that's for our students and our kids on Sunday morning. Almost the same size. I mean, what? We're going to have so many kids in there. At our summer camp that we do for kids in this space, we have close to 140 kids that come. I guarantee you when we open the doors, we're going to have 300 kids doing summer camp in this building. I mean, I can just go on and on and on. 725 seats in here. That means if the kids' parents continue to bring their kids to church, which they should and they will, then we'll have 1,000 people per service. That's just in 2 services. Right now when we have great Sundays, we have 800 people. Great Sundays in this space, 800 people. Off the beaten path, people have to find us, and we're in a rented gym that we've been in almost for 8 years. Wow. I mean, what God is going to do through this is amazing. And I have to tell you that I have vision for this building. You know, I was a part of designing and influencing this building. If you've heard of a church in Atlanta, Georgia, called Passion City, they literally bought an old Home Depot, and it looks like this, and we thought, let's just build that. And it actually turns out that a tilt-up building, construction panel building, whatever it is, ask Wes, whatever it's made out of, is cheaper per square foot than most churches. It's going to be concrete and steel and glass, and then it's just going to be filled with people. That's what we're doing. So I have so much vision. I think about and visualize, and won't you visualize with me, just people driving up to this building. The 80,000 people a day driving past this building. Just on the way to work, on the way to Big Lots, because we're neighbors with Big Lots, on the way to Target. There's a Target going in there. I mean, man, if people come to Target like they come, if they come to our church like they come to Target, it's going to be amazing. I mean, they're going to come not knowing what's going to happen and get way more than they expected. Because that's what happens at Target. I mean, I just believe with all my heart. I just see it, right? Don't you just see it? College students, driving home from Ohio State to go to their parents' house in New Albany to do their laundry. What's that? That's where you go to church now. Moms, single moms, families, young adults, professionals. Amazon is moving in. Facebook is moving in. Right here. Where are they going to go to church? Right here. This is where they're going to go to church. This right here. Because we're all excited about doing something that actually affects people. That's why it's going to happen. I have vision for this, man. I have vision for the faces of people. I remember when I went to, the first time I went to North Point Community Church in 2004, and it was a modern church that was designed to reach people who weren't acquainted with church. I remember walking in there and seeing people's faces. And I grew up going to church. It wasn't the same type of face, you know? It wasn't the same type of church, Bible, barren, walking in, Sunday best person. It was the kind of person you see everywhere else. And they were somewhere that they normally don't go. And it struck me. I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of something that reaches people who aren't being reached. And I want to be a part of something that helps people who are on this journey of faith. Man, how can we do that better? How can we do that more clear? And it is true that I have vision for this building. And I have vision for the people who are going to walk in this building. And I have vision for the people who are going to sit in those chairs. I have vision of kids sitting in small groups on Sunday morning eating goldfish and having a small group leader talk to them about life-changing principles. I have vision for that. I see it. Do you see it? Do you see it with me? I have people in my mind walking in the back of this room right here, coming away from darkness and tragedy and walking in and hearing spiritual songs where the Holy Spirit of God does something that only it can do. And you see, vision for people is so important. And man, as a leader, I live by that and I die by that, and so do you. But the truth is that as beautiful as this building is, and as wonderful as the amenities of it will be, it is simply just an instrument. A building is an instrument, just like a guitar is an instrument. It's just an instrument. What's the guitar about? Is it about the guitar, or is it about what the guitar does? Is it about the guitar, or is it about what the sound that comes from the guitar is? This building is not like Beauty and the Beast. The chairs don't talk. The floor doesn't move. The clocks don't have bad jokes. Like, this is just concrete and steel. That's all it is. It's an instrument. And you know what? The bank likes that we're building the building the way that it looks. You know why? This is so interesting. Think about this. The building looks so much like anything other than a church that the bank is looking at it and going, we like this. This is cool because this could be anything, whatever were to happen. And our thought is, oh, yeah, because it's not about the building. Because, yeah, anything can happen in here. You could sell furniture in here. You could sell rugs in here. You could have a really oversized new barber shop. I don't know. You could go crazy in this thing. You could sell cars in here, little cars. I don't know. You could sell toys in here. But that's not what's going to happen in here. What's going to happen in this building is going to be what God does to change people's hearts. And that is the actual vision that I want to talk to you about. Because I can see brick and mortar, and so can you. And I can see flex space, and I can see kids, and I can see parents, and I can see them all showing up. All showing up. But the chair's not going to talk to them. And the walls aren't going to talk to them. That's not what's going to change their life. What's going to happen is this building is going to be played like an instrument. by all of us, utilized by all of us to do what only God can do through us and through his instruments. You know, the scriptures call followers of Christ instruments of, if you know it, righteousness. We all need to grow in our faith, all of us, because we didn't have enough people respond to that. Read the Bible. Read it. Read the Bible, people. Listen, the vision that I want to talk to you about is what's going to happen in this room. It's going to happen in these rooms. And it's found in Proverbs 29. So in Proverbs 29, and it's written on your notes, and you can open up your phone and you can read it. But here's what it says in Proverbs 29 to a group of people, written by a king who understands what it's like to follow God, to obey God, and what it's like to not follow God and not to obey God. You see, King Solomon is known in the scriptures as the king with half a heart. Half a heart. Saul, no heart. David, whole heart. Solomon, half a heart. And the reason is because he had his heart divided between serving and loving and teaching and following God and false idols. False idols, other gods. And he was pulled in multiple directions. And one thing that he noticed, he writes about in the book of Proverbs, and it's he talks about it in such a way that it should scare us, and it should change us, and it should mold us, and it should show us what needs to happen in order for people to have a whole heart for God. Or what needs to happen in order for a whole community to have a whole heart for God. That's what needs to happen, and that's what he's talking about here, and he says this. He says, where there's no vision, where there's no vision, where there's no vision, the people perish. But happy and blessed is he who keeps the law. Where there's no vision, people perish. Now, when you see that and you hear what I'm talking about, you might go, well, so Joel, you have vision for a building, and that's what it's talking about, right? If you can see and you can have strategy. If you have strategy and you can see what God could do through instruments, then man, like, then that's what it's about. But that's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about is something completely different. The vision that Solomon is talking about is the X factor. It's the sound that the guitar makes. It's the noise. It's the impact that happens when people are experiencing God firsthand. And he's saying without that, people perish. Now, for those of us that grew up in the church, when we see this word perish, we think this, and this is a part that just strike a chord with me as I've been preparing for this. We think perish means, you know, die and then be eternally separated from God, like to not have an eternal life, you know, to perish, to not actually be born again. But actually, that is not at all what Solomon is talking about. What he is saying is that without vision, and we're going to talk about what that is, without whatever this specifically is, and it's not what a building looks like, without this, people perish. And let's just say that it does include people not having a relationship with God and maybe never having a relationship with God, but it's not the point. What he's saying is when we don't have this vision from God, there's social disruption. There's social lack of harmony. There's social injustice. People, it says in another passage, they lose restraint. And so what it means is that when this vision that Solomon's talking about isn't happening, people's lives fall apart. Not just unbelievers, believers, followers of Christ. If the vision of God isn't for and around and in and through the people of God, oh my goodness, then what happens is those people's lives start to fall apart because they don't know what to do and they don't know, they need this vision. This is this thing that God's saying, you got to have this thing. You got to have this vision piece, otherwise you're all in trouble. And oh yeah, it means people that are far from God won't be brought near to God, that's for sure. But it also means you and me, we're in trouble without whatever that is. And so it's so crystal clear, right? Vision for a building is not what saves people's lives. I mean, it's simple. People don't perish without a building. People perish without this vision piece, not with the vision of a building. This building will save no one. The chairs, and it will save no one. It will help no followers. The building won't do any of that. That's just a vision for a tool. That's just an instrument. That's just a thing. The scriptures don't say without a building, people perish. The scriptures say without vision, people perish. And so we should be drooling. We should be captivated. What exactly will we perish without? What exactly will cause our families to fall apart? What exactly will cause our finances to fall apart? What exactly will cause social lack of harmony? What will cause social injustice? What will cause brokenness? What is it? Because if we want to have that, don't you want to have that thing that solves all that? That's what we're about, that vision. Not Joel's vision. Without vision. Here's what Solomon's talking about. Where there is no vision means this, and this is simple but profound. No revelation of God and his word. The word vision means revelation of God and his word. Where there is no teaching, preaching, proclaiming of God's words, people's lives fall apart. And in my tenure, I have learned that even when the preaching of God's word is happening, people's lives still fall apart. And that when God's word is given to people, that it becomes these handles for dear life, like your tubing on the back of a crazy ski nautique. And most people can't hang on when the driver turns and makes too big of a wake at too much of speed. Most people can't. But if we don't give them handles, they're just going in the water. And when God speaks, it gives people handles. It gives people hope. It gives people vision. It gives them the ability to see a different path. Your marriage, when God speaks, it changes how you view it. Your finances, when God speaks, it changes how you view it. The God that we serve has vision to do things so radically different, it's profound. Two things. Love your enemies. Love your enemies. That's what Jesus taught. If that doesn't sound like revelation from God, love my enemies. Anyone that's ever done that knows, oh, that vision for my life changed my relationships. Bless those who curse you. Forgive seven times. If I had a whole year to teach on forgiveness, what it looks like practically and what it does in your soul, it wouldn't be enough to get us to totally follow it. But if 50% of us grabbed onto what God actually said, God's vision for forgiveness, just forgiveness. I just picked it. I'll pick another one next service. God's vision for forgiveness will radically change your life. It will radically change people. And they are not gonna go to any other job or any other building and hear, you can forgive by the power of the Holy Spirit and it will transform your relationships. Without that vision, people's lives fall apart because they grow bitter and nasty and they get vindictive, and I watch it. We are here to reveal God's word to people. And when that happens, they get vision for their life. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. I mean, the scriptures say that how will people hear without a preacher? We all have a job to reveal God's word to people. I'll tell you this right now. I went to church, grew up in a family, had my experiences, had my ideas and my imagination stimulated about what my life could be. None of that is why I'm here today. The sole reason that I am here today is because I heard the word of God taught from the scriptures, taught from a preacher, taught from a small group leader, taught from a friend. The word of God has changed my life more than any other thing. If I didn't hear, I wouldn't be here. If I didn't hear the word of God, I wouldn't be standing on this stage. I wouldn't be born again, a follower of Christ, and I wouldn't be able to stand here today. The word of God is what people need. That, my friends, is the vision I want all of you in. I want all of you in to this insatiable desire to have people experience Jesus Christ face to face, to hear what he has to say, and to let his words transform people's lives. You see, Matthew 5:14 is the name of our church. We're 5:14 Church because of this verse. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. I mean, you are like a light. This is what this is saying. You are like a building on the top of a hill. You are like a strategically placed city that's been built. And your light is designed to move into the darkness. You are designed to bring vision. When there's darkness, can you see? No. When the word of God speaks, it lays groundwork for people to see. The scriptures say that the word of God is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. The word of God, not the place of God, not a person of God. The word of God. And I am here to tell you today that a building that operates as an instrument for the projection of God's word could not be more important. Whether you agree with me or not, it's a fact that today the next generation after millennials is called Generation Z. And it is a fact, there's a study been done by a reputable organization that found this truth out. They found that atheists among the U.S. population in Generation Z is double that of all the other generations. That means that teenagers are walking in darkness. They don't see. They don't know the truth. They don't have God's vision. I mean, you can sit there and make arguments and try to hypothesize why. It's because they're inundated with all kinds of messages. And it's our job to proclaim the truth. And it's our job to do it here. That's it. You see, when you and I do what we're supposed to do and the word of God is spoken, we become the light of the world. The vision that people need comes from our mouths. It comes from our time together in our small groups. It comes from the time we have here at this church and we'll have here. Think about this building that we're in right now. We've grown to over 1,000 people. We're more than that. We have people that are giving and loving and growing, and it's not because of this building. This is just a rented space, man. Church is not a building, it's people. It's just a proven fact that they gather well in them, and we have to move out of here. So we're going to go get a better instrument that's designed specifically for humans to sit in and experience and hear vision for their life. Don't you want to be a part of someone's moment? Their moment, man. Don't you want to be a part of moment one and moment two and moment three and moment four where God shines light on their heart and they learn and they grow and they give it up or they let it go or they I don't know, Savannah. Nah, nah. He took my heart back to Havana. I don't know why. That song is so good. The light, it shows people who Jesus is. Listen, if you struggle with Jesus being God, put a pin in that for a second. Don't you want every person to just get to know Jesus, to learn about him? Just his love and his story and his beauty and his presence. Don't you want every person to get to know who Jesus is? That happens through vision. It happens through proclamation. It happens through the word of God. The light that we become, it shows people who they are. When people stand before God, man, and God moves in their life, then who they are becomes revealed. Their you know, brokenness, their beauty, and they can start to become whole because now there's light. And the light shows people how to live. Christians, if you read all of Paul's letters in the New Testament, he talks about theology and he talks about all these things of who we are and who Jesus is and the blessings that we have in spiritual places and what it means to be born again and Romans and Ephesians and Philippians and all of them just talk. And then they get to the end and they talk about for one chapter, you know, a chapter and a half in Romans chapter 12, Paul unloads on now. Therefore, you should be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and you should lead, and you should forgive those, and love your enemies, and you should be patient, and you should be forbearing. And the truth of the matter is that if someone gets God's vision for their life, they know who Jesus is, they know who they are, and they're taught how to live, they're the most remarkable human beings on the planet. Christians who follow radically after Jesus are a light. And every person who drives by this building needs to experience God's way. And they will when they hear God's vision for their life. Our vision is to give people God's vision. That's what this is about. Our vision is that we see people sitting in a room, people sitting in a small group, people sitting at you with coffee and the word, the truth, the love of God being communicated more than it is now so that people can experience who God is. That's our vision. Now, when we talk about our vision statement at the church to cultivate in everything we do Christ followers, passionate about reaching people who don't follow Christ, that's the same thing. Teaching people who Jesus is, vision, so that then they can see vision for their life to go and help people know who Jesus is and love people and care for people. That's what this whole thing is about, man. Revelation from God, changing who I am to go change people's lives. So, let's get them all in to hear vision for their lives. Let's do it. Who's with me? I mean, that is what we're about. A building is an instrument to project and speak vision into people's lives. It's already happening, and it's going to continue to happen. Here's a couple examples.
I am all in at 514 because I have seen tremendous growth in myself and my faith, as well as my husband and my two daughters.
I'm all in because of the life change that I've had in the last 2 years since We Can't.
We are all in at 514 Church because people need Jesus. And I'm not just saying that because everybody says it and it's a church. It's because people genuinely need hope. They need to know that people care and they need to know there's a place where they can belong. That's why we are all in at 514 Church.
What he said.
Why am I all in?
I am all in at 514 Church because today I wake up every morning and I go to bed every night saying, I love you, God. And I never would have said that 5 years ago, and I want that for everybody.
I'm all in because I've seen the effect of the gospel since the day I got saved till now. and I see it in the church. It's actions.
We're all in because we want to make a difference in people's lives.
The way that God's made a difference in ours.
Because I believe in the ministry, I believe in this church, I believe in the students, the staff.
I love Jesus, and I believe that God is working in a major way through this church and this staff, and I want to be a part of it.
We are all in because we believe in the vision of 514 Church, and we believe that through the vision, we can bring a lot of other people to Christ.
I am all in because I want to be a part of reaching the hearts of everybody else in this community.
I'm all in at 514 Church because they're changing lives, and I want to be a part of that.
We are all in because 514 has changed our lives. We're going to be a part of changing the lives of many more.
514 Church is doing something amazing, you know.
I'm all in because I really believe in this church and what it's doing.
I can see God's work being done here. People's lives are being reached, and it's something I've never experienced before.
And I want to see other families have what we have, and that is why I am all in.
I want to see all of the empty chairs that are going to come with this new building be filled with new people.
We're a part of something bigger. We are all in at 514.
You should consider being a part of that troop of people. Listen, when I watch that video, I don't know what it's like for you, but when I watch that video, I see people who are one step away from me, right? Like, I know them. I know you guys. I've had coffee with you. I've been to your houses and been to your small groups, and I know you. And as much as I love you, David Bailey, the guy in the really cool European leather jacket, that guy, he's really, we work out at the same gym together because just get to know each other. And man, I love working out with David, and I love David, and I'm so glad that I know David. And when I watch that thing, I'm like, man, I love these people. But I am so committed to everyone that's in that video having their people that they reach. That one day that they can stand up or look across a room and see, they're here because I was here. See, some of you are here because I was here, or because Wes is here, or Carmen was here, or Matt was here. But there's a bunch of people who aren't here, and the only way they're going to get here is because of you. And that's what I'm excited about. I like David, but I'm more excited about what David is going to do than just my relationship with David. It's just a bigger calling. If you're new to this church, I want to do a quick State of the Union. What we will do when you decide to be all in, and I am talking about all in financially to help support this project so that we can do this thing together. That's a major piece of what this is about, is your commitment financially to the church. And when you decide to be all in, there's a couple things, because some people who are new here, you don't know what we're all about yet, and you learn some of these things if you go to Become, which is our membership class. But I just want to just remind everybody, even if you've gone here for a long time, the cores, the principles of what we believe here at 514 Church, and what no matter what, we will always be committed to regardless of where we are. The first thing is we are committed to Christ. We are committed to the person of Jesus. We are committed to the lordship of Jesus. We are committed to him being our Lord and Savior, and him being exclusively the way, the truth, and the life to get to God our Father. We will always be committed to that, first and foremost. We are committed to the church being a place where everyone belongs. That is huge. It's so huge, it's almost synonymous with being committed to Christ, because when you're committed to the person of Christ, you understand that the only reason you were allowed to be is because of grace, and that means everybody else can be allowed to as well. And so we are committed, no matter what your background is, no matter what your beliefs are, no matter what your behaviors are. You belong here. This is a place for you. I tell lots of people who consider giving to our church this, to make sure, hey, if you see someone who walks in this church who doesn't look like you, act like you, think like you, you better get excited. And if that makes you uncomfortable, don't give here. Don't. because you're going to be supporting something you don't believe in. We believe in everyone belongs. We believe in conversations and interactions. We believe in loving people and equality. We believe in that. It's dramatic how much we believe in that. And some of you are sitting in this room today because you know we believe in that. We are committed to culturally relevant communication. The scriptures are something that's been translated so many times in different languages so that people could understand. Our job as ministers, which if you're a 514 church member, you are a minister. Our job is to make sure that people get the message. And so we should translate the truth into whatever fashion form it so that people can understand it. That's why we do some of the things we do. We want to speak in a way that people can understand the timeless truths. So what you will see is radical communication. That means a lack of orthodoxy. That means we're not committed to religious systems and religious ideas and just going through the motions and traditions for tradition's sake. We are committed to people. And we are committed to people knowing the truth. And if we have to change the way we communicate to do that, we're going to. So that they can learn and they can hear God's vision for their life. We are committed to scripture-based teaching. We believe in the Word of God. We believe in the Bible. We believe it's inspired. We believe God is totally using it and has His power in it. And we believe that when people learn it and hear it, that it does something miraculous in their lives. And we are committed to that, no matter where we are. We are committed to authentic community. We are a place that doesn't have a bunch of rules and a bunch of, you know, ways that you have to behave in order to be here. We are people who gather in a large group and people who gather in a small group. And when we gather in those small groups, it's a place to be real. It's a place to be you. It's a place to be broken. It's a place to be wrong. It's a place to bring your shame. It's a place to bring your joy. It's a place to bring your biggest mistakes and your biggest victories. And we believe in all of that. And we will always be that. We will always be committed to being with other people in the name of Jesus and treating them with that type of kindness. And we will always be committed to caring for the broken. We will always be committed to caring for the broken. When you give to 514 Church, a portion of your giving goes to our ministry partners who are doing things for the underserved and underprivileged all over the world now, and we will always be committed to doing that. We do that here. We do that in Haiti. We do that anywhere we can because we believe that God has blessed us tremendously, that He's given us great resource, and that He's given us opportunity to help those who are in need. And we believe that as followers of Christ, that it's our duty to do that. We believe that we're supposed to give. It's a hallmark of who Jesus is. And so when you are praying through, and that's what I would ask you to do, I would ask you to pray about being all in financially. And when I say all in, I mean unified around this idea that we're going to do everything we can to get the Word of God and the community of God into more people's lives. That's what all in means. And it's that commitment to that. And then we step back. When you start with that as a yes, yes, I'm in. I want people to know God's word. I want people to know how to live their lives. I want people to know who Jesus is and know who they are. I'm committed to that, to God's vision. Then vision leads to decision, and it should make you be generous and take what God has blessed you with financially to make this instrument happen so that lives can be changed for eternity. That's what I'm asking. I'm asking everyone to pray about being all in financially, and I'm going to tell you what that looks like next week. And if you don't come to church, I'm going to be upset because the Bible is so emphatic about your finances being associated with your love for God. If you have a problem with talking about where you give your money, you have a problem with God. I'm sorry, man. He wants you to let go. He wants you to have open hands. Those who've been given much, much is required. Let's do something in unity to build an instrument that does something eternal. Why wouldn't you want to do that? Don't you want to be a part of that? So I'm going to ask you to stand, and we're going to ask God to rattle the rust off of our hearts, to break chains off of our hearts, to help us stop looking at ourselves and doing things for us, for our sake, and start to think about someone, someone who's not here, someone who needs vision for their life. You need to put that person's name in your mind right now. Right now, think of them. This is what this is all about. It's about that person. That's what it's about. That's why we're doing this. Who is it? What would you do? What would you do to have their life changed because of what only God can do? What would you do? What role would you play? I just want to ask us to pray, and when we're done praying, I want you to stay standing, because Kevin and this team has written a song called All In. And All In is simple. Whatever it takes. I'm all in, whatever it takes. Finances, time, energy, whatever it is to reach people who are lost, to reach people who are broken. We're challenging you, and we're challenging ourselves to be all in, because Jesus was all in for us. And that's what this song is about. So I want to pray for your someone, pray for your heart, and then we're going to sing this new song together. And please pick up on the words and sing it with us as an anthem for what God is doing through this season at our church. Let's just pray together. Father, right now we come to you in your precious name. We ask that we would forget about ourselves and magnify you. We forget about ourselves and magnify you. And we would just thank you, God, for what you did, how you were all in for us, that you gave up riches, you gave up titles, you gave up position, you gave up authority, you gave so much up so that we could just be in this room today and experience our Father who loves us and experience vision and see the world differently and live it differently because of you. You were all in, God, man. You just did it, man. You were beaten and stripped down and hung on a cross all to be the sacrifice to pay our penalty that we should have paid. You were all in for people who were guilty and you were innocent. God, we're guilty and you're asking us to be all in for someone who's innocent. Father, help our hearts to change. We need a change of heart so that we can give all in, that we can see this building happen and then five more so that thousands of people can experience God's vision for their life. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus for you to move into that person's life we're thinking of right now. We're thinking of them right now. We pray, God, that what we do over the next couple weeks would be instrumental in reaching them. In Jesus' name.